that we can come and gather together in this place to worship you. Oh, it just feels good to do that, Lord. We just love it. We love you. We love our fellowship that we have together, and we love your word, Lord. And so we've gathered together tonight to look at your word, and we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, we're all going through different things at different times, and so, Lord, your word is so encouraging. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak powerfully to each one of us tonight as we look into your word. And so help us, Lord, just to take it in and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. Psalm 63. You know, the book of Psalms is a collection, really, of poems. They were set to music, most of them, and promoted singing unto God, just like we were doing earlier. And the Hebrews knew the book of Psalms as the book of praises. And as we read through the Psalms, we find many examples of intimacy written down here. Beautiful moments, personal moments between the authors and the Lord. And many times we have found ourselves reading and praying through the Psalms, which leads us to worship Him and to praise Him. In Psalm 63, we read that it's a psalm of David while in the wilderness of Judah, probably written when David was running and hiding from his enemies during his son Absalom's rebellion, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. A tough time for David. Can you imagine, you know, your own son turning against you and a man who you confided in for counsel doing the same, and then taking, men who would come alongside and just turn against you. I don't know if you've ever experienced somebody, as we would say, stab you in the back or whatever, you know, and it hurts. People might saying stuff about you and just really turning against you, those whom you love and those whom you trust. And so David has to actually flee for his life, and he's taken some men with him, of course, but he's in a time where it's hard. And he could be lonely, missing Jerusalem, you know. And he's running, hiding out here and there. But I love this about David. He's trusting in the Lord as he writes this particular psalm. And really, it's a prayer as well. And do you realize that even as we were worshiping tonight, as we're singing to the Lord, raising our hands, our hearts are joyous, we're just singing to the Lord, we're actually praying to the Lord as we worship Him. Don't ever forget that. You see, worship is not just a song, is it? It's not just a song. It's coming from inside us, our soul. And we're actually talking to God. We're actually praising Him. We're actually praying to Him when we worship. And I love the Psalms because that's what we read as we read through the Psalms. And this one in particular. And I found three references or considerations to the moving of His soul. And I pray tonight that God would move upon our souls. That soul, the real us, deep down, way inside, you know. And three things stick out in verses 1 through 4. He says, my soul thirst. In verses 5 through 7, my soul shall be satisfied. And then the third, my soul follows close behind you, verse 8. And then verse 9 through 11, the unsatisfied soul. And so what a beautiful psalm it is as we get to study. And so let's read the first four verses. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. And I love this. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Look where he's at, in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. What does he do? So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Isn't that beautiful? Do you feel like that tonight? I don't know where you're at with the Lord. We live in the desert. It can be a dry and weary land at times. Storms, you know, we're in monsoon season or whatever, and we're blessed with some rain tonight. But spiritually speaking, how are we doing tonight? And so we read in verse 1 that he has a thirst for God, a personal thirst in his soul. Now, Lori and I went for a walk last night, and it was kind of humid, you know, beautiful sunset. I don't know if you guys saw that last night or whatever. And hun, I don't know how long we walked, maybe a couple of miles or whatever, and I forgot to take a bottle of water or my flask with me. You know, everybody's carrying around flasks these days, you know, and that's a good thing. Because when you're thirsty, you need to fill yourself up. Thirsty in general is not a good thing. Spiritually being thirsty is not a good thing as well. But sometimes we go through dry times, and David is in one of those times. He's in a trial. He's running for his life. He's in the desert. We know what it's like living in the desert. It can be dry and weary. But spiritually speaking, I love how he cries out, "Oh God," and look how personal he gets, "My God." Underline that. I love that. I capitalize it in my notes here. Yes, he is our God. We're his children, right? But he is my God, and he's your God personally, right? We have a personal relationship with God Almighty through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I like that. He's my God. He's your God too, but he's my God, you know? Oh God, you are my God. To desire and thirst for God is to have him fill us up with his presence. And so if you are dry tonight, if you're weary for whatever reason that your life is going through right now, if you find yourself thirsty, cry out to God, your God. And how do you do that? And I love it. David says early in the morning. He says, "Early I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." I love, again, how God is personal to each one of us. And so it's great to seek him early in the morning. You never know what a day holds, do you? And sometimes as we spend time with the Lord before the busyness of the day, before school or before work or whatever we're doing that day, it's good to take time and seek the Lord early in the morning before any distractions or cares of the day. I love how he says, "My flesh longs for you." He says that the desire of my soul is so strong that my very body feels the effect of it. My flesh longs for you. Did you come in longing to be with the Lord tonight? Isn't that great? Thirsting and longing, my flesh, you know, I got up, I cleaned up, I dressed up, and you know, my soul was excited, and that makes my flesh excited. So I got up and I drove here, and here we are on Wednesday night church, you know. We've longed for the Lord, and because we're here, I know that the Lord is going to speak to us. He always does. I like it. My flesh longs for you. The desire of his soul is so strong that his very body feels the effects of it. And each of the verbs indicate intense desire here, like intense desire. Like when you're thirsty, that's pretty intense. And when you long for someone, that's pretty intense. It's a thirst of the entire man here. Soul and flesh are used to really denote the whole man by his two principal parts, soul and body. His whole being seeks after God in fervent desire and thirst. And so if you find yourself in this condition tonight, you're right where you should be, praising God, fellowshipping with one another, and asking him just to touch you in a special way. That's how David is crying out in verse 1. Of course, the desert is a picture of his condition. The circumstances in which he was placed led him to seek the Lord more intensely, maybe, more earnestly, because he finds himself in a hard spot. Remember, sorrow and trials often drive us to be more closer to the Lord. Would you agree? You know, when everything's good, it's good to praise the Lord. We should always do that. But, you know, in hard times, in hard situations, boy, we find ourselves praying harder maybe, fasting maybe, thirsting after the Lord more intensely because we need an intervention from him. And so don't ever neglect the trial that you're going through to grow in a deeper relationship with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord will allow this, and the Lord will meet us in ways that maybe we never knew him before. if it wasn't for the trial that we're going through and the way that he's going to intervene in it. And you can look in the past and know that God has done that before. And so if we find ourselves in a dry and weary place today, what do? We look for God. We seek the Lord. We thirst for God and find his presence and his relief. Look at verse 2. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary that I might see your power and your glory. He's looking. He's seeking. And so tonight we've all come to look for God's powerful and glorious presence. Let me tell you, or ask you, do you feel his presence here tonight? Do you feel the power of God as we gather together? You know, Laura and I were driving on the freeway and it started to rain and lightning just all over the place and thunder's like, whoa. It always reminds me of the power of God. But personally for each of us, you know, the Lord works powerfully in our lives. How so? Well, he saved you. That was a powerful miracle. I'm looking at my own life. Man, he did an awesome work in Jim that I can come to know the creator of the universe. And so we come to his presence. Right here in this sanctuary, we find his presence every time we meet together publicly. You realize that? Because when two or more are gathered together, he's here in a special way. I saw some of you guys react. You're actually singing and praising. I saw a little dancing a little bit in your aisle. You know, sometimes I sway back and forth, you know. And we do it for the Lord. I'm not doing it for you or anybody else. I want to be focused on the Lord as I recognize how much glory he has, how much power. And because my soul is rejoicing, my body reacts to that. That's a good thing. We find his presence every time we meet together publicly. God is powerful and full of glory. And so we also look for God in private, like David here. As we're praying to him, as we're reading his word to know him, to understand, to get direction from our lives. In our lives, to worship him, to experience him, to really feel his touch, to give us direction as he's moving, changing, and directing our lives. And so both publicly we look for him in the sanctuary. The sanctuary was that dwelling place where God is, and of course he dwells with us. So as we're all dwelling together, he's here in the midst of us. But we're looking for the Lord to move and to speak. How is the power of God seen in the sanctuary? Well, every time we meet with him, we're edified. And when sinners are converted, we actually see that. We saw that last weekend as people gave their lives to the Lord. That's the power of God moving. And why does he do that? Look at verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. I heard you guys earlier. You were praising God. Isn't it wonderful to do that? I love the character of God here, loving and kind. Underline that, loving kindness. Do you know God that way? Beautiful. To know the creator of the universe as a loving God, as a kind God. God's loving kindness given to us is better than anything else in our lives. It's better than life. When we know that, our reaction is to praise him, right? That's why we're praising him. Remember, while much that is good and pleasant in life can change and be intermittent at times, the loving kindness of God is always constant, and it's never changing. We know that in life, joyous days can be succeeded by sorrowful ones, but the loving kindness of God is eternal, it's unchangeable, it's forever. And I hope you know God that way, because that's what happens when we thirst for the Lord, when we seek the Lord in the sanctuary. The result is that we just praise him. Praise him on the inside and just comes out on the outside. And because God is a God of loving kindness, in verse 4, so I bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. A lot of us were doing that tonight. Some of us might be intimidated to do that. I personally am not. If I feel led, I'm going to raise my hand to the Lord. And again, I think it's that inward reaction of the soul as I'm thirsty, as I'm being filled with the presence of the Lord, as I'm crying out to him, I just got to raise my hand and just say, praise you, God. And I love the reaction that occurs. And it's biblical because it's right here. I will lift up my hands in your name. Go ahead and do it. Praise God right now, everybody. Just praise God. We love you, Lord. I love that. Never be intimidated to do that, you know. You don't have to do it all the time or whatever, but if you feel led by the Lord, like David is writing here, then you know what? Praise him. Praise him with all that's in you, from your very soul. Feels good. Our lives are to bless God. Our lives are to give him glory, and we will praise him by lifting up our hands. Again, that outward. And notice the soul and the body's reaction there. That's why people praise God in various ways. The flesh just reacts to what the soul is feeling. Our soul and our flesh are connected until we die. Our soul goes on to live with the Lord. The flesh decays, but we will get a new body and rejoin together, and that'll be a wonderful, glorious thing. But I love how the spirit, the soul of a man or a woman comes out in what we do in the flesh to glorify God. And so let us be on the alert to see God's power and his glory, not only in the sanctuary, but in our dry and thirsty times too, in our prayer closets, as we pray together with our husbands and our wives and our kids and our friends and our family. Oh, how sad and weary is life without God. You know, we probably all know people that don't have a relationship with the Lord, and things are going on, it's tough, and we're grieved. And we pray for them, but how sad and weary is a life without the Lord. And so I love how David just writes from his heart, from his soul. Some applications. So how are you doing in quenching the thirst of your soul today? At no earthly stream can you find the refreshment which you seek. Now, we can be refreshed physically from time to time, you know, drinking water. Or I like green Gatorade, you know. But, you know, that's all temporary. Everything physical is temporary, isn't it? None of us will ever be satisfied way deep down unless we have a relationship with the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you a thirsty soul today? Then remember the words of Jesus, "If a man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." That's what we need to do. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he meets us every time. In verses 5 through 7 now, the soul satisfied. And there's a good question too. Do I have a thirsty soul tonight? If I do, then I need to seek the Lord and his presence. And then right behind that, do I have a satisfied soul? Are you satisfied way deep down tonight that all is well with your soul? And look what David writes here. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. He's speaking about a meal there. And my mouth shall praise you with what kind of lips? Joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed and I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. A satisfied soul rejoices and meditates on the Lord. I love this. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. So the provisions of God for the spiritual needs of a man are frequently represented in the scriptures as a great feast, feasting upon the Lord. David looked forward confidently to the realization of spiritual satisfaction and delight. I shall be satisfied. As you feel dry and weary maybe tonight, you will be satisfied as long as you trust in the Lord. God's provision are both physical and spiritual, of course, but spiritual satisfaction is what's most needed in every single one of us. My soul shall be satisfied, satisfied with a personal relationship with God. Exalted and blessed fellowship, when we do, occurs. Being forgiven feels great. Communion with God. Living for God. Now I'm a changed man. The hope of glory and of heaven forever. That's a satisfied soul. And I love that. The truth of God's word. And it's like, am I this person tonight? Do I feel this? Is this true about me? You see, the satisfied soul is to be filled with God's righteousness. A satisfied soul is to be filled with God's righteousness. And the result of being spiritually satisfied is praising God verbally. When I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. Not only do you praise God verbally, like we were doing, but then even when you go to bed, now you're going to meditate. We're all going to go to bed tonight, I think, unless some of you guys work the graveyard shift or something, you know. What do you do? What do you think about when you go to bed at night? It's good to meditate on the Lord and just thank Him and praise Him and remember all that He's gotten you through today. Our time of worship here tonight, our time of fellowship, our time of study in the Word. Meditation is a fixed and continuous thought. I'm just going to meditate. I'm going to chew on this for a while. It's one of the most important mental exercises in relation to our spiritual life and progress. I never want to think about things too quickly. Sometimes I can make just snap judgments or I'll say something that I shouldn't say and it's like, man, I need to put a guard over my mouth. You know, meditation will help us with that as we just meditate on things. Meditate on what God is speaking to us. What's going on in my life right now? God, I need direction. I need wisdom. I want to be satisfied. Lord, how do I do that? I need your presence in my life. And just meditate on the things of the Lord. It's healthy to do that. It's spiritual healthy to do that. And I think night is a great time to meditate on the Lord and the spiritual things because the material things are hidden from sight. Night has fallen and we're about ready to go to bed or whatever and all the stuff's gone, right? Praise God, we get some rest after each day, you know? And it's a great time just to get alone with the Lord. Those things are hidden from our view and spiritual things may come to the surface or appear with reality and clarity as we've gone through the day, you know, and we can meditate on those things. And then we pray about it. And isn't it wonderful just to fall asleep as you're praying, you know? Make sure you cover most of the stuff that you want to glorify God through and praise Him. But what a wonderful thing is just to be having a satisfied soul praising God, praying to God, and then falling asleep. Wonderful. And because of the stillness and the quiet of the night, I think it helps us and aids meditation upon God, that God is in control and all is well with our souls. And I love as he says in verse 7, because you have been my help. He's remembering now. He's meditating because you have been my help. I know by experience what you've done in my life previously. So why would we ever doubt that God is not going to work in our lives in the future or even today? Whatever situation we might find ourselves on. I love that. You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will, look at that word, I will rejoice no matter what's going on. I will rejoice at night. As we remember the past times of God's help in our lives, this protection is well assured. It gives us confidence. God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. It's guaranteed both by God's promise and by our past experiences with the Lord. Because you have been my help, therefore, we are assured of His protection currently and in the future. That phrase, the shadow of his wings, speaks of absolute safety. You know, David was an outdoor guy, and so he's got a picture of a bird. You know, maybe covering the baby chicks or whatever, the shadow of your wings, you know, just that picture of protection that he has witnessed being out in the wilderness. Knowing that personally causes David to praise God and rejoice. Knowing that God's going to protect him no matter what. Because in God's protection and safety can the thirst of a man's soul find satisfaction. Again, are we satisfied? Do you have a satisfied soul here tonight, knowing that whatever's going on in your life, God is still in control, and you can take refuge in Him, and you can find safety? And so I wrote down a conclusion here. Here then is satisfaction for the thirsting soul. In the protection and the provision and the support of God and by our meditation, right, and trust and praise of Him, as we look back, remembering Him intervening through past experiences, here's what happens. Our anxieties are calmed and our joy is inspired. That's the two things that I see. You know, Paul writes to the Philippians, don't be anxious for anything. What? I got a lot to be concerned about in this life. All of us do. But the word there is don't be overwhelmed. Don't have an anxiety attack over things. And David is doing that as he meditates on the Lord. As we remember what he's done in the past, as we remember who God is, it brings a calmness to our soul. It brings satisfaction that he's all in control, even though I'm not and my life might seem out of control. I know that he's going to be with me and protect me and provide for me no matter what. Our anxieties are calmed and our joy is inspired. That is what a satisfied soul feels like. Then I remember the words of Jesus. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Satisfaction guaranteed right there. All is well. In the big picture, no matter what happens in life, as we maintain our relationship with the Lord, satisfaction guaranteed. Don't let the world rip you off. Don't let the enemy rip you off. Don't let your old fleshly desires rip you off. Let your soul control your flesh, not the opposite. You know, so many things are out there to distract us and we can get caught in. We want to walk in the Spirit. Then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I love the picture of the soul being thirsty and satisfied. It just comes out. The flesh begins to praise the Lord. And that's a healthy soul. A soul who trusts the Lord and who worships the Lord and who lives for the Lord. Look at verse 8, the soul who follows. My soul follows close behind you. And he says, your right hand upholds me. I love that. The reaction of being satisfied is wanting to follow God closely. Isn't it true? If you find yourself satisfied, I just want to follow the Lord because I know that he's loves me. He's full of love and grace and mercy, and why wouldn't I want to follow him? It's so easy to follow Jim sometimes. Like, no, follow the Lord, not my own desires. I want my desires to match the Lord's desires. But I got to follow close behind so that I can know his desires and battle my own. God is always in front of us, you see. We are to follow him. Jesus told many people, come, follow me. How many of us follow the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? I hope all of us. Jesus went before and we must follow in his steps. And there ought to be as little space as possible between him and us, right? I don't want to lag behind. I don't want to run before him. I just want to be close behind. Even in trials and hard things. And so we're to stay as close to God as possible throughout our lives. Knowing that he will sustain us, he will protect us, he will strengthen us, he will empower us, and he will satisfy us. The right hand is the instrument of skill and strength. It denotes power. With infinite wisdom and almighty power, God sustains the soul that trusts in him. And I love the mutual affection and the relationship with God and his servant here as you read verse 8. As we follow him, he sustains us. We know that he will never leave us or forsake us. This is both beautiful and it's encouraging. And that's what a relationship is supposed to be. Beautiful and encouraging. Those of you that are married, you know how beautiful marriage can be when husband and wife love one another and serve one another and make life the best for one another as possible all the way till the end of life. But God does the same with us. Just walking close behind the Lord, knowing that his right hand will sustain us, it will empower us, will protect us, will provide for us. I love that. But then in verses 9 and 10, we're going to read about a soul never satisfied. Not so the enemies of David. Look what he writes. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. Reference to death, probably to hell as well. And you know, if you're not satisfied in your soul tonight, there's a reason why you're not living the way that the Lord would want you to live. There's a reason why people are mean. There's a reason why people are evil. There's a reason why people kill. There's a reason why people want to destroy people. It's because they do not have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ within them. And their souls are not satisfied. They've never had that personal relationship with the Lord. We read that they shall fall by the sword and they shall be a portion for jackals. Wow. Ugly picture of those animals eating up the dead bodies. And what a terrible fulfillment the words of David had in the case of, if it's true, if he is running from Absalom and Ahithophel and the 20,000 of the rebels there. Wow. And they were defeated, you know. In seeking the life of King David, they brought upon themselves destruction. And we're reminded of the fearful doom awaiting all persistent workers of iniquity. They will be judged one day. We know that James says, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. I like that. But the king shall rejoice in God. There's that word again. Praise, joy, rejoice. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. They will be stopped. Everyone that swears by the name of God in truth, swearing God to be true and being true to him, shall glory and rejoice with God. Oh, it's great to do that. It's great to have that right relationship with the Lord. And how important is individual character here as I look at these verses here? Our character expresses itself in our pursuits, in our desires, and who we live for, what we live for, and determines our eternal destiny. You know, it's important. It's important to be a man of God, a woman of God. And just as important, if you're not right with the Lord, you are going to face the consequences of God's judgment, death and destruction, separation forever. And so, what kind of character are you tonight? What kind of character should we be desiring? A godly character, not an ungodly one. And so I look at the comparison here. Wow. It determines our eternal destiny, how you live your life on this earth. And for those who speak lies and live in unrepentant, sinful ways, that life will result in a soul never satisfied forever. Never satisfied forever. They're just going to miss the blessing of God. My heart grieves over that. Someone said, as righteousness tends to life, so he that pursues evil pursues it to his own death. But you know, only through personal relationship with Jesus Christ can we attain righteousness of character and experience his satisfaction guaranteed. That is the only way to fulfill a thirsty soul. That's the only way to have a satisfied soul. And that is the only way that we can keep close to God, is we have a soul that follows him closely. I don't want to have an unsatisfied soul. I have been there. I know what that's like. And I praise God that I responded to his love and his grace and his mercy. And I have, since I've done that, have had a satisfied soul. And I pray that all of us here tonight would have a satisfied soul. If you feel unsatisfied for any reason, I just encourage you to call out to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be satisfied. So in closing, may we thirst after God with all of our heart, all of our minds, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Amen? Just be thirsty in that way. That's a healthy thirst. If you find yourself in a dry place, we need to thirst after the Lord. And as we thirst after God in this way, we will find our souls satisfied in God's presence. We will experience the fullness of his joy, knowing that he will sustain us through every weary and dry circumstance throughout all of life. And then let's stay close behind the Lord as we follow him as we praise him all the way to eternity, right? And if we do these things, we will have his satisfaction guaranteed. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this psalm, Lord. Great truths in it, Lord. And we can all experience dry and weary times, Lord. And I just want to pray for anyone here tonight that might find themselves in a dry land or in a weary condition, Lord. Life is hard sometimes, even as Christians. Sometimes we can get dry and weary, but we don't want to give up, Lord. We just know that we, as we find ourselves thirsty, that we need to seek you in the sanctuary. So we're standing in this sanctuary tonight. And I pray, God, that we would call out to you and be satisfied. And Father, whatever's going on in our lives, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just come now and assure us that you're here with us every step of the way to sustain us with your mighty right hand, Lord. And as you do that, Lord, we would just automatically praise you and worship you to have joy in our lives, knowing that you're going to take care of every situation that we find ourselves in tonight. And because of that, Lord, we want to follow close behind you. Help us to do that. Holy Spirit, just come now and give us a hunger for your word. I pray for sweet times of communion with you early in the morning and even at night, Lord, as we meditate upon you. And so, Father, we just ask for a touch here tonight that your Holy Spirit would just take us, Lord, and satisfy us no matter what's going on in our lives. And as we continue to pray tonight, I wonder if anyone's here tonight that have never given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you find yourself unsatisfied, and we got a picture of what an unsatisfied soul would look like. And if there's anyone here tonight and never given your life to the Lord, I pray tonight you would do that. Maybe you're feeling the tug of the Lord, and maybe tonight is the night you would be converted and give your life to the Lord. If there's anyone here tonight, just raise up your hand, and I'd love to pray with you. If you're just here tonight, you're just like, I'm unsatisfied, and I need to be satisfied. I need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody out there tonight? Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. I see you down here in the front. I see you over there in the back. Anybody else? For whatever reason, I see you guys right there. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Just praise him. Raise up your hands and praise the Lord. I want to be satisfied tonight, Lord. Father God, we pray for these people right now, Lord. Every one of them that has their hand up, Lord, you see them. You know them. Father, they're crying out to you, and I pray that you would give them the strength just to pray and give their lives over to you. And if that's you, just pray this out loud. In fact, we can all pray this out loud. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. And we want to be satisfied in you. And as we're unsatisfied, right now, Lord, we need your touch. And so we admit that, Lord, we're sinners. And we need forgiveness. We ask for it in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that you died on the cross for our sin and have given us eternal life. And so we confess you as Lord. We confess you as Savior. And so God, come now and satisfy our soul that we might live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, Amen. Amen. It feels good to be saved. It feels good to be satisfied. And so it feels good to worship too. So, Amanda, can we worship with you one more time? God bless you, God.